Welcome to this podcast episode from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography, published by Oxford University Press. Having listened to this life of Elizabeth Parsons, the 18th century impostor, also known as the Cock Lane Ghost, why not visit the dictionary online at oxforddmb.com? The Oxford DMB includes biographies of 57,000 people who shaped British history from the Romans to the 21st century. The Oxford DMB is now freely available online at home via nearly every public library in the United Kingdom. Further details are available at oxforddmb.com. Elizabeth Parsons, also known as the Cock Lane Ghost, 1749 to 1807. Impostor. Written by Heather Shaw. Elizabeth Parsons was born in 1749 at Cock Lane in the City of London, an obscure turning between Newgate Street and West Smithfield. She was the elder of two daughters of Richard Parsons, deputy parish clerk of St Sepulchre's Church, who supplemented his income by letting out rooms in the Cock Lane house. One lodger in 1759 was William Kent from Norfolk. Kent's wife had died in 1756, shortly before his arrival in London, where in Parsons' house he continued a relationship with his deceased wife's sister, Frances Lines, known as Fanny. On one occasion, when Kent was absent in the country, Fanny had Elizabeth Parsons, described at the time as being a little artful girl about 11 years of age, to sleep in her bed. In the night, they were disturbed by extraordinary noises, which Fanny interpreted as a warning of her own death. Neighbours were called in to hear the sounds, which continued to be heard in an intermittent fashion until William Kent and his sister-in-law left Cock Lane and went to live at Bartlett Court in Clerkenwell. There, Fanny Lines died on the 2nd of February 1760, her death having been diagnosed as due to smallpox. The noises at Cock Lane ceased for a year and a half after Fanny left the house, but they recommenced in January 1762, shortly after William Kent had successfully sued Richard Parsons for the recovery of a debt. Elizabeth Parsons, from whose bedstead the sounds apparently emanated, suffered fits, and the household was continually disturbed by unexplained noises, likened at the time to the sound of a cat scratching upon a cane chair. Richard Parsons attributed these manifestations to the presence of a ghost, which he proceeded to interrogate by means of knocking on the bedpost. In this way, it was ascertained that the spirit was that of the deceased lodger, Fanny Lines, and that she had been poisoned by a dose of red arsenic, administered by William Kent in a glass of pearl. The story of the Cock Lane ghost was widely reported and drew numerous visitors, including the Duke of York, to the dimly lit room where the manifestations were supposed to take place. During seances conducted by a female relative of Parsons named Mary Fraser, the ghost signified its displeasure at any expressions of incredulity by tapping and scraping, for which it was dubbed Scratching Fanny. The sceptics among the visitors had to conceal their opinion, or, as it was claimed in the fashionable Gentleman's Magazine, no ghost was heard, which was no small disappointment to persons who had come for no other purpose. But the socialite and author, Horace Walpole, was openly dismissive of a ghost that, as he put it to a correspondent in January 1762, would not pass muster in the Portreous Convent in the Apennine. Walpole visited the house on the following day, where he recorded as staying until past one, but the ghost was not expected until seven, when there are only prentices and old women. The Methodists, he added, had promised contributions to the ghost's sponsors. Provisions are sent in like forage, and all the taverns and alehouses in the neighbourhood make fortunes. On the 1st of February 1762, the Reverend Aldrich of St John's, Clerkenwell, assembled in his house a number of gentlemen and women, having persuaded Parsons to let his child be brought to the house and tested. The child was put to bed by the women at 10 o'clock, and shortly after 11, The company, which included Samuel Johnson, assembled in the girl's bedroom and with great solemnity requested the spirit to manifest its existence. However, although the girl declared that she felt the spirit like a mouse upon her back, no sounds were heard, and Dr. Johnson expressed the opinion of the whole assembly that the child had some art of making or counterfeiting a particular noise and that there was no supernatural agency at work. The account of this investigation, published by Johnson in the Gentleman's Magazine, brought the imposture to its end death. Shortly afterwards, Elizabeth Parsons was moved to another house, and threats were held out that her father would be imprisoned in Newgate Jail if she did not renew the rappings. Scratchings and rappings were duly heard during the course of the night. Unlike previous manifestations, which were probably caused by ventriloquism, the sounds on this occasion were found to issue from a piece of board which the girl had concealed in her clothing. On the 10th of July 1762, Richard Parsons, his wife and Mary Fraser were tried at the Court of King's Bench before Lord Mansfield in a special jury and were convicted of conspiracy. A clergyman named Moore and one named Mr. James, a tradesman who had given countenance to the fraud, agreed to pay the former lodger, William Kent, £600 as compensation and were dismissed with a reprimand. Robert Parsons was sentenced to appear three times in the pillory and to be imprisoned for 2 years. His wife and Mary Fraser were sentenced to hard labour in Bridewell Prison for 1 year and 6 months, respectively. However, the popularity of the imposture was shown by a public subscription raised on behalf of Robert Parsons and by the calm demeanour of the mob when he stood in the pillory in February 1763. The affair was the occasion of the well-known satirical poem The Ghost by Charles Churchill, in which Dr. Johnson, or Pomposo as he is dubbed, was falsely accused of being fooled by the Cock Lane hoax. A plan for the playwright Samuel Foote to transfer the caricature to the stage in his play The Orators, 1762, brought the threat of a beating from Johnson. The imposture was also ridiculed by William Hogarth in his famous engraving of 1762, entitled Credulity, Superstition and Fanaticism, in which he also mocked those taken in by an earlier infamous 18th century hoax in which a Surrey woman, Mary Toft, had claimed to have given birth to 17 rabbits. After her brief appearance as the Cock Lane ghost, little more is known of Elizabeth Parsons. In later years, she is thought to have been twice married, secondly to a market gardener, and she died at Chiswick in 1807. Having listened to this life of Elizabeth Parsons, why not visit the Oxford DMB online at oxforddmb.com? Here you'll find more than 100 free podcast episodes, as well as biographies of thousands of interesting people who shaped all aspects of British history.